From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. As deer season begins around the region, some wildlife officials will also be starting stricter regulations to monitor for and manage chronic wasting disease. Minnesota required CWD testing during the season's opening weekend earlier this month, and counties around the region are encouraging hunters to voluntarily test for the disease. Joining us to talk about how CWD is affecting the region are Lou Cornicelli, Wildlife Research Manager for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Terry Hainfield, wildlife biologist with the Iowa DNR, and Tammy Ryan, chief of the Wildlife Health Program for the Wisconsin DNR. And so first I want to start by talking a little bit about Minnesota's opening weekend and the CWD testing that you guys required. So Lou, you know, tell us a little bit about why Minnesota wanted to require that testing.
Well, much like the other Midwestern states, we've been actively looking for CWD since it was first discovered in Wisconsin in 2002. And since 2002, we've tested probably close to 60,000 deer, but our most recent rounds of surveillance are related to a positive detection in Fillmore County, which is in southeastern Minnesota, in wild deer, of which we still don't know the cause, and that was last fall. And then last winter, there were two farm service facilities that were declared infected. So we are doing surveillance around those infected facilities. So our strategy was to, for this fall, was to kind of take Missouri's approach and force people through sampling stations over opening weekend of the deer season to get as many samples as we could in our surveillance areas.
And so how did that go? I'm sure there was a lot of coordination that went into that effort.
There was. I'm suspecting D-Day was slightly less complex, but this was pretty complicated to put together. We had we have a system of online and over-the-phone registration for deer, and we didn't want to turn that off because it's really popular. So we were essentially telling hunters that go ahead and register your deer in the manner that you see fit, and then bring it to a sampling station. So we had to also figure out where we should put the sampling stations because they have to be large enough to accommodate potentially masses of people. They have to be laid out in a safe way. We have to have safety plans for our staff, all the protocols related to sampling. So we've been pretty much planning this for since January, February, when we found out about the infected facility. So it's been a fairly large coordinated sampling effort, and it worked amazingly well. Our results, or at least our compliance, was really high, not as high as Missouri, but it was high enough for us that we, in some areas, we doubled the numbers collected versus the numbers desired.
And Tammy, can you talk a little bit about, what has Wisconsin's approach to CWD been? You know, what's kind of been the state's plan?
So we've been conducting surveillance of CWD in the Wisconsin deer herd since 2002 when it was first detected. So fast forward now to 2017, and we have sampled over 200,000 animals and have had great interest and cooperation by Wisconsin deer hunters. So what we do is every year we establish a surveillance strategy and provide for sampling opportunities in those targeted areas of interest, as well as outside of our targeted areas. We essentially offer hunter service testing for adult deer from any county of the state. But we do have a focused surveillance plan. It is on our website. Hunters can go to the website and check that out and see where our heightened, I guess, areas of interest are. And then we have information on our CWD web pages on where our sampling locations are. And there's, we are in a fairly new era here in Wisconsin with electronic registration, so that, deer still need to be registered after harvest, but that in-person process that was long in place is no longer, and we have more convenient opportunities now for hunters to just register their deer afield. But we still do offer in-person opportunities for CWD sampling. We have a network of cooperators out there that are working hard to help us provide this service to the hunters. We also have self-service opportunities. There's what we refer to as kiosks, where hunters can basically do it themselves if they'd like to. So lots of information available at their fingertips on how they can get their deer sampled this year.
Has Wisconsin considered requiring testing?
We have required testing. That's something, 15 years running, that's something that we did do in the onset of our following our detection. But now our approach is a voluntary approach and an encouragement approach, and doing what we can to make the opportunities for CWB sampling convenient.
Actually, earlier this week, our Eau Claire talk show, the West Side, happened to be talking about CWD, and an interesting point came up from a former Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources board member, Dave Clausen, had a comment that I wanted to play for you guys, just to hear your reaction about, I don't know, how neighboring states have viewed Wisconsin's approach to CWD, so we're going to play that now.
When Iowa discovered their first case of CWD in the wild across from Crawford County, the text that was going around was a picture of a deer wearing a Packer cheesehead hat, and on it said Iowa or bust. So there's very definitely concern, and there is huge concern in Michigan. They are really upset in the Upper Peninsula because we have those three game farms up there that continue to operate and continue to pose a threat to the deer in that area and also to Michigan. That was mentioned. I talked with some of the folks from Michigan, and they are not happy about our approach.
Tammy, do you feel like that's, I don't know, an accurate viewpoint?
I can't really speak to the viewpoints of Dr. Clausen or, I guess, the Michigan DNR in regards to Wisconsin's approach. I guess I would offer, however, that, back in 2002 and the years following, Wisconsin really put a significant effort into CWD and responding to the disease on our landscape. And it's something that, now looking back on that and with the data that we've been able, the expansive data set that we've been able to collect, there is modeling that's been done that actually shows that even though at the time that we detected it, we thought we were responding to an isolated case, what we didn't know then that we know now is that the disease was actually likely to be present on our landscape for at least a couple of decades prior to our detection. So, we definitely found ourselves in a difficult circumstance, but we tried very hard in the early years to contain and eliminate the disease.
Terry, this clip mentioned Iowa, Iowa's kind of response. I wonder, what your perspective is on, how Iowa is kind of approaching this CWD issue.
There is great respect for each of the state's agencies of how they've dealt with chronic wasting disease. And it's very important to point out to the viewers or listeners here, every state with chronic wasting disease has its own set of parameters with this disease with respect to its infection situation. And I usually break this down into two areas, biology and management. So that's the location of the disease, the habitat types, dispersals of deer, number of infected animals, terrain, cervid population, the landowners, the seasons. And then there's also the public and the politics side, whether it's the hunter attitudes, laws, politics, CWD knowledge, who's got authority for what types of rules or regulations. So we all have different situations, and we all deal with them in the best way we can scientifically to curtail this disease. And so there's great respect in this tri-state area for how each of the managers are performing and doing their jobs on this.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how state wildlife officials are responding to chronic wasting disease and its impact on regional deer populations. We're here with Terry Hainfield from the Iowa DNR, Lou Cornicelli from the Minnesota DNR, and Tammy Ryan from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Terry was just mentioning, you know, this respect in this between the different state agencies. Lou, I wonder if you could talk about, I don't know, have there been efforts to kind of coordinate resources on this issue?
Certainly not, resources being sharing equipment, no, but we coordinate knowledge base and we coordinate research products that we're going to doing so that we do to try and answer some of the same questions in the different states. So we work very closely with our neighboring states. And I think we're meeting here in December to talk about some research projects that we're all doing. So we work as closely as we can, recognizing our state borders and state differences. Like Terry mentioned, different states have different regulatory authorities and different political landscapes. I can speak for my state. We have broad regulatory authority to manage for wildlife diseases. So we can open and close seasons. We can impose carcass export restrictions. We can do all sorts of stuff that some states might not be able to do. And like Tammy had mentioned before, and then Terry then reiterated, it really depends on that landscape, when you found the disease and what you feel like you can do about it. So I think there's a lot of differences in each state's CWD detection and management, but there's a lot of similarities as well. And we do work very closely together on a lot of that stuff.
It seems like, sampling is definitely an important part of each of your state's strategy. And Tammy, I wonder if you can talk about, why sampling is so important to helping, manage CWD.
Sure. Well, sampling can be basically broken down into two primary purposes. And the first is disease detection surveillance. So essentially, conducting sampling to detect disease on the landscape so that, management actions and information can be shared with the public. Then there's assessment surveillance, which essentially follows a detection. So that surveillance and that sampling informs further knowledge about the disease on the landscape in regards to disease distribution and ultimately over time tracking trends and prevalence.
This has been an ongoing issue for a number of years, and I wonder, what have been, I guess, the biggest advances or improvements in how states are able to, monitor for and kind of track where this disease is going?
Well, my mind goes to more or less the protocols or the field operation protocols of testing itself. Back in the beginning in Wisconsin anyway, it was the first time CWD was detected east of the Mississippi River. And we did start off with efforts to collect samples, and it was primarily done through the collection of deer heads and freezing those deer heads and then extracting tissues from thousands of deer heads and trimming all those tissues. And now here we are 15 years later, and we're actually training our cooperators who are providing CWD sampling services to extract lymph nodes. We've long been doing that. It's definitely a more efficient process. We're able to move those through the system quicker. Our testing turnaround time has become quicker as a result of that. And further, hunters are able to take their deer home to their families with the head still attached, which is a really important part of the process. And then I guess the other thought that would come to mind is, the advances would be in regards to, what it is that we've learned about CWD over the last 15 years. Like I mentioned, 2002 was when CWD was first detected east of the Mississippi River. But there's a graphic on the CWD Alliance webpage that basically shows North America and what we know about CWD to date. And there's quite a significant wealth of knowledge that's been gained over that time frame and across the nation and Canada in regards to what's happening with disease distribution.
Tammy, you bring up a really interesting issue of teaching people how to remove the lymph nodes to better better be able to test for chronic wasting disease. And I know that the Minnesota DNR actually had an interesting experience with trying to teach more people to be able to do that by using their Facebook page. And I wonder if, Lou, you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the idea actually came from one of our younger assistant area managers who said we should make a video. So we made a couple of videos, one on the just basically the surveillance program, why we're doing it, how to get ready for it, the website, and that had over 40,000 hits on the DNR site alone. So it went kind of crazy. I wish someone else would have been the speaker instead of me, but that's a different conversation. But we also had basically a video on how to extract a lymph node yourself using, I think we used a Leatherman and just a hunting knife. So, and that got a lot of views as well. So we were trying to show our hunters if they were interested in taking their own samples outside of our surveillance area and then processing those themselves through either the Minnesota Veterinary Diagnostic Lab or Colorado State University. We would give them those tools to do that. So, yeah, it came out of, you know, an idea from one of our area staff, and it just kind of went from there.
Terry, I wonder if this, I don't know, if this, the popularity around this video and just maybe encompasses hunters' awareness, like increased awareness and increased willing to participate in CWD sampling and kind of addressing this issue.
That's a really important, good point that you're making there, Hope, that the education and the information to the public is essential. And I think that's what we've found to resonate with some of our hunters and landowners where we do have chronic wasting disease, is we've done a fair amount of public meetings where nobody likes this disease, but we all need to understand what it is and what it means down the road and what we can all do, you know, to be able to help move this in a better direction. Whether it's from any of the other states or locally. And we found a great reception to that when people really get the pertinent, correct information about what this disease is about.
That's Terry Hainfield, wildlife biologist from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, here with us today to talk about the impact of chronic wasting disease on regional deer populations. Also joining us is Lou Cornicelli from the Minnesota DNR and Tammy Ryan from the Wisconsin DNR. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Terry, I wonder if you can talk about, you know, what's new this fall in Northeast Iowa and when it comes to CWD sampling, but also maybe this year's hunting season.
One of the things is, like I mentioned, public meetings, we're having some more of those. But then also we've had some additional antlerless licenses available in these chronic wasting disease positive areas for people who feel like they have excess deer or want to remove some deer from those areas. That's been very helpful. We also are unfortunately having to watch our western border a little more closely along the Missouri River because of positives are closer from Nebraska, and so we're informing public, you know, over in that part of the region. And the other things that we're trying to do is looking at restricting or not restricting, but improving carcass disposals, so people aren't taking the bones and the remains from deer and putting them in new areas from these CWD-positive areas, so we don't spread the disease in other parts of Iowa or they're in, out of the region. So we're working to that end as far as providing better resources for the public to help them, have proper management of this disease.
Tammy, what is new here in Wisconsin when it comes to CWD sampling or just kind of the hunting season this fall?
Just the fact that our the self-sampling kiosks that we've offered are out there in greater numbers than they have been in the past. So a lot, definitely trying to fill in the gaps on the landscape and provide convenient opportunities for hunters to get their CWD, their deer sampled for CWD. We also have enhanced our efforts on carcass movement as a way to reduce disease spread in our state as well as within our tri-state area. Recently, we collaborated with our with Lou and his shop over in Minnesota on the outreach to Minnesota hunters that are going to be coming to Wisconsin to hunt deer, and created a new brochure, which is on our website, DNR Wisconsin website, keyword CWD. And that is also being mailed to hunters in Terry State as well as Illinois and Michigan. So we've definitely amped up our efforts to seek to reduce the spread and reduce the risk of spreading CWD in our Great Lakes area.
And Lou, we've talked about the required testing that happened during opening weekend in Minnesota, but anything else that's new this fall?
Well, for us, a lot of it was new last fall after we found CWD. So we've implemented carcass import restrictions into Minnesota from any of the 50 states and Canadian provinces. So we don't allow whole carcasses to come back, kind of from what Terry was talking about regarding risk from other states. So we've limited that. Within our CWD zone, we have a carcass export restriction. So you're not allowed to leave the zone without a not detected result. So the carcass has to stay in the zone. You can leave with cut and wrap meat, cleaned antlers, skull plates, that kind of stuff. And we just had we have a presumptive positive CWD deer in our zone that was taken by a Wisconsin hunter, and we contacted that person, and he had done all the right things. He had boned the meat in the zone, left with clean antlers, and our folks seem to be complying. So we've done what we can both on the import side and also to reduce risk on the export side. So I think, as Tammy said, you know, working together on a lot of stuff, but we're also trying to measure risk both in and out, and whether that's in because of game farms or natural deer movements, or out based on positive detections in our own state.
Terry, I want to hit on one thing really quickly before we go. In other articles, I've read that you have said that, you know, it's probably not possible to eliminate the disease in our region, but, you know, we're working to slow it down as much as possible. And I wonder if, I don't know, if you could comment briefly on that before we go, of this idea that, you know, it might not be possible to eliminate CWD, but, you know, we're doing our best to manage it.
That's very true. There's if you're going to eliminate a recent found positive, you need to jump on it fast and do quick diligence in that area. But once it gets established, it's very difficult. But the thinking in the scientific world is that we need to slow this down as much as we can, such that science can catch up and give us better tools. That's something down the road that we don't even know about yet can help us either really slow it down or maybe even stop this disease. So we're just asking for the public's and everybody's help to do whatever they can, whether it's movement of carcasses across the landscape or the captive facilities moving deer across. And maybe we'll have a live test someday that can test, live animals. Those are the things we need, such that we can have good efforts that are productive with the future of this disease.
We've been talking with Terry Hainfield, wildlife biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, Lou Cornicelli, wildlife research manager from Minnesota DNR, and Timmy Ryan, chief of the Wildlife Health Program for the Wisconsin DNR, about the spread of chronic wasting disease in the region and how wildlife officials are working to manage the disease this season.
And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.